The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth.
Hey! Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love it. Good day, tokers and tokets. Welcome to the show. It is Thursday, August 8th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you for joining us. Once again, we're live from Margarita Studios here in beautiful Miami, Florida, where earlier this afternoon I got to sit down in the penthouse condo apartment. Penthouse condo. Anyway, I got to sit in the penthouse condo in Miami Beach with Steve Burke. You know him as the man behind the Should Be Legalized video and the Pot Shop video. He's also running for mayor of Miami Beach. We'll have that interview for you tomorrow on tomorrow's show, and we'll be previewing a fundraiser that's going on Saturday at the Art Walk. We'll be covering that live right here on 420 Radio. So check in on Saturday. I'll get you the times later on in the show because I forgot them right off the top of my head. But on today's show, we got a jam-packed show for you. You know that recent scandal that we've been talking about where the DEA has been found to be supplying or getting information from terrorism task forces and the NSA and using them to funnel information down to the cops who then scrub any information of the DEA giving them the original tip. It's called parallel construction, and we're going to talk about it with Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment today from a Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Diane Goldstein, a big friend of the show, will be on. She's a retired lieutenant commander in Redondo Beach Police Department and can tell us quite a bit about this parallel construction. Also on today's show, the big news in marijuana today has been yesterday's apology by Dr. Sanjay Gupta from CNN for systematically misleading the American people about the medical benefits of cannabis. It's an amazing revelation. We'll cover it a bit in the 420 Radio News, but I've also got a radical rant on it. I'm going to give you a look at the evolution of Dr. Sanjay Gupta, some of his prior statements on medical marijuana, just to give you the context on why it's so amazing that he's done a full 180 on his views on medical marijuana. So stay tuned for that in the radical rant. In behind the headlines today, we're going to kind of follow up on yesterday's radical rant. We were talking about taxing of medical marijuana in the state of Washington. Now we're going to talk about it in the state of Nevada, where the battle is quite different. The state actually is taxing medical marijuana already, and they want to triple their patient rolls in order to make more money. It's quite an interesting twist. Plus, Bago Trago calls in with our Groovin' Thursday Daily Toker Tune, something from Reuben today, which is kind of ironic because I had a Reuben today. Or is that coincidental? Anyway, we'll be right back.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't.
simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us go. It's simply business.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at
Everywhere you go in Washington State, things are greener than ever. Why? Because last November, Washington voters made adult recreational use of cannabis legal, which is why the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup is coming to Seattle once again to salute Washington's historic victory. If you love cannabis, then get yourself over to the High Times U.S. Cannabis Cup on September 7th and 8th as the marijuana community gathers in force to celebrate our newfound freedom. Meet the businesses of the emerging cannabis industry. Learn about cultivation, topical oils, concentrates, edibles, and more. Sample dabs, buds, and delectable morsels of cannabis cuisine. Then rock out on Saturday night at our Smokin' Hot concert featuring Slightly Stupid and Redman. And of course on Sunday evening, we present the U.S. Cannabis Cups for the top indica, sativas, hybrids, edibles, and concentrates of the great state of Washington. Plus, we honor professional traveler and outspoken cannabis advocate Rick Steves with the High Times Lifetime Achievement Award. Come to Fremont Studios on September 7th and 8th in Seattle for a historic celebration. Go to MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis community.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Thursday, August 8th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. CNN's Sanjay Gupta, Americans terribly and systematically misled about marijuana, from rawstory.com. CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta, a neurosurgeon, apologized on Wednesday for publicly opposing marijuana legalization, saying science was clearly on the side of the drug. Quote, "I think we have been terribly and systematically misled in this country for some time, and I did part of that misleading," he told CNN host Piers Morgan. Though studies on marijuana in the United States tended to focus on the drug's negative effects, Gupta explained, research from across the world has made marijuana's positive effects clear. He said there was, quote, "no scientific basis to claim marijuana had no medical benefits." Quote, "I think it is irresponsible of the medical community not to offer this as an alternative," Gupta added, citing the high rates of deaths from prescription drugs. "I could not find one case of overdose of someone documented dying from a marijuana overdose," he concluded. And we will be covering Dr. Gupta and his work on the CNN documentary Weed that is coming out very soon on CNN. I believe it's this Sunday. Check your local listings for details. We will also have a post of that up on our blog at RadicalRust.com. Doctors wanted for Georgia's medical marijuana law, this from Creative Loafing in Atlanta. In 1980, the Georgia General Assembly followed the lead of at least 16 other states and passed legislation allowing for the limited use of medical marijuana by people diagnosed with glaucoma and cancer patients undergoing chemotherapy and radiation. It was supported by then-Lieutenant Governor Zell Miller and signed into law by Governor George Busby. Under the law, the state created a program to study the effects of medical marijuana on cancer and glaucoma patients. The program was to be overseen by the Patient Qualification and Review Board, or PQRB. But Georgia's medical marijuana program soon faced a major problem when the legal supply of pot dried up. In 1982, the National Institute on Drug Abuse and the Drug Enforcement Administration stopped delivery of the country's sole source of legal cannabis. Georgia's program had effectively ended without ever supplying a single patient with the medical marijuana promised. But in 2010, a state appellate court ruled that the Georgia Composite Medical Board, not the governor, should appoint PQRB members. PQRB applications have been open since 2010, but only three have been received since then. If you're a medical professional and willing to volunteer your time, details about applying for an open seat are available on the board's website at medicalboard.georgia.gov. Legal fight brews on impairment in medical pot DUIs. This from ArizonaCentral.com. Medical marijuana cardholders in Arizona who drive after using the drug may be charged with DUI. Valley prosecutors say that any trace of marijuana in a driver's blood is enough to charge a motorist with driving under the influence of drugs, and that a card authorizing use of medical pot is no defense. The legal battle over the rights of medical marijuana cardholders to drive while medicating is being fought in the state's court system. Motorists convicted in municipal courts, which typically rule it unlawful for a driver to have any trace of marijuana in his or her blood, are appealing cases to the Superior Court, where judges' decisions could set precedents for how the medical marijuana law applies to Arizona drivers. Church members give parents kits to test for drugs from WCPO.com. A local church wants to arm parents in Indiana with tools to keep their children drug-free. With a growing heroin epidemic in the tri-state, several organizations are working together by launching Protect Your Family, a program that distributes free drug test kits to parents. The kits were administered at Sunman Dearborn Intermediate School on Monday evening. Organizers said they hope to make an impression on 5th and 6th grade students because they start experimenting with drugs around age 13. Each kit contains a vial for a urine sample and instructions on how to read the results. The kits test for a presence of marijuana, methamphetamines, cocaine, painkillers, and other substances. Some parents have pushed back on drug testing because they say it violates children's rights. U.S. News Health reported false positives, confusing results, and cheating are several reasons why the test should be left up to professionals. Chilean psychiatrist leads crusade to legalize marijuana from CNN.com. Dr. Milton Flores, age 58, is a psychiatrist in the South American country of Chile who is working to legalize marijuana. In March, police confiscated several of his plants, and he is now serving 18 months on probation. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, August 8th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and look at the Nevada medical marijuana program, where legislators there are hoping to triple the number of medical marijuana patients in order to raise money for the state. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Good stuff today. I got real good stuff.
Cali Mist. It's a sativa. Misty feeling. You know what I'm talking about.
And then I also got this right here.
I got this cashmere cream. It's an indica. It's going to keep you in your seat all day like a good Led Zeppelin album. Like cashmere. So, what's it going to be?
Take the sativa, man.
What the fuck?
Yeah, man.
Let your creative juices go. Go with the sativa.
Cool.
You don't want to be no couch potato.
I'll take a potato if you're going to the kitchen,
what
man.
Holy.
Hey, listen, you want to go with the indica strain, man. Just chill.
Hey, you want to get high?
high, not stoned. Come on now. Go with the sativa.
No, you need to just chill.
Are you supposed to be the devil? Aren't you supposed to be the devil?
Oh, shit. What?
And aren't you supposed to be, like, tiny and on my shoulder? Just
we ain't got the budget for that. You think we are James Cameron? Come on, baby.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about baby ducks.
You really want to be like that for 2 hours?
Let him choose for himself, bro.
See, this is why I can't. That's why I can't deal with you. Sometimes I wish I could just grab you and just snap your goddamn neck. Hey. Hey, man.
Holy sh...
Dude.
What the...
I got other people to see, man.
A little of both, I guess, please.
All right. I can do that. That's cool.
Hey, do you have any mushrooms, by any chance?
Hell yeah, I got mushrooms. I got acid too, man.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, a common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different, something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines. Instead, I just wanted to follow up yesterday's rant where we were talking about the fight against medical marijuana taxation in Washington State. In Nevada, though, there's a completely different situation going on there, and this is something coming out of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. The Nevada Department of Taxation is trying to raise over $500,000, $529,000 from a special legislative fund to cover the cost on collecting the new tax on medical marijuana. They passed their dispensary law in 2013, and with that dispensary law, they passed taxation of medical marijuana. It's supposed to be coming in at 2% excise tax on wholesale and retail sale of medical marijuana and related products. But in order to set up the infrastructure they need to collect that tax, they need to raise $529,000 of public tax money to get the board going and get the review going and, you know, audits, whatever the hell it is they need to do. So the guy who put the bill together was a state senator named Tick Siegerblom. Yes, his name is Tick. Senator Tick Siegerblom of Las Vegas authored a bill, and he says, basically he's trying to sell this to fellow lawmakers by saying, look, we put this in effect, and we're going to collect a lot of money on medical marijuana taxes. And then he says he doesn't know precisely how much revenue will come to the state from sales, but points out that additional revenue comes in from the $70 medical marijuana cards that people have to register for. Now, he is saying that if they got another 7,000 people to register for medical marijuana in the state of Nevada, that would raise $490,000, which is about the cost of, you know, the $529,000 that they're trying to get. But that's an interesting number to pick, 7,000 cards. There are only currently 3,500 medical marijuana patients in Nevada. And he is saying that it is expected, this is Tick Siegerblom saying, that they're expected to grow, that would be the patient rolls, are expected to grow with the new dispensary system. They're expecting to triple the number of patients in Nevada in just this short period of time that he's talking about. The dispensaries would open in 2014. And he is selling this on having more medical marijuana patients to raise more money. Just legalize it for everyone! And you'll raise a ton of money, Senator! Why would you want to specifically focus on taxing the sickest and most disabled people and charging them $70 for permission to use weed when you're in Nevada? This makes no sense.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, He would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
I like that.
Well, I don't know what you came to do.
That's right, baby. We're keeping the funk alive right here at Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, your groovy home of soul, funk, and disco. So join me, Big Daddy, every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, at the Funky Roller Rink, where every night is Saturday night.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, welcome everybody back to the show. It's Groovin' Thursday, and I'm coming to you live from Miami, Florida, and we got Bago Schwago on the line coming to us from Arizona. How you doing?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you doing today?
I feel like I'm in a sauna. What the hell is it here?
You feel the same way here. It's pretty hot out here as well. I think we're like at 92 or 93 today. Nothing that you, I think, would enjoy, you Northwesterner.
I know. I'm likely to just spontaneously combust. And there's lizards jumping through the trees. That's a little disconcerting at first.
Don't have those. We have the wild snakes that would like to just eat, poison you and leave you on the side of the road here. I do have a question. I mean, you travel so much, and you're Mr. Number Statistic Man. How many miles on average do you travel per year? I mean, what would you guess?
I'm just this year so far, I don't have to guess. I have this little app called TripIt that keeps track of all my trips. And this year, I've traveled over 24,000 miles. And since 2011, it's over 58,000, I think.
That's ridiculous. I bet you get a lot of frequent flyer miles, don't you?
I do, and occasionally I get to use those for, you know, trips of my own, which is nice. Get to fly back to Boise every now and then, visit my folks and all that. And yeah, in about the past 5 years, I've traveled to 34 cities in 18 states doing marijuana reform. And I have a map up online on Google somewhere. I'll have to post the link to it someday.
Oh, that's amazing. And I mean, all your work's paying off. So thank you for being out there and doing all the speaking that you do. I'm sure we all appreciate it. We all do.
Well, thank you, man. And I couldn't do it without the help of the listeners and the VIP members and guys like you that are supplying content to the show, like today's song. What a brilliant segue.
Wonderful. Great job. And this guy, I couldn't find Jack Diddley Squat on him. I found the song. He put it up in 2003. He goes by the name Ruben. That's all I got. This song, I fell in love with it. It kind of stops and then starts going again. The lyrics are great. I think everyone will love it. This is just a great song. I was very happy with this one.
All right. And like I mentioned earlier today, I had lunch in Miami at a little sandwich shop, and I had a Ruben. So this fits just perfectly for me today.
Absolutely perfect. There we go. That works.
All right, thanks, Bago Schwago, for our Groovin' Thursday tunes. Oh, hey, man. This is Ruben.
Take it easy, man.
You got some dope on you, man. You don't got no dope on you, do you?
Oh, no, man. I never can.
Oh, hey, well, if you don't, man, I do. Here, light this up.
Oh, far out, man.
Yeah, well, it's a really good stuff, too, man.
We'll be right back.
seems like a hobby to me. I specialize in disposal of leaves and sticky shrubbery. It seems everything with the green tint catch my eye. Like the time I tried to smoke a oregano to get high. Didn't work too well, as you can probably tell. But what the fuck I'm supposed to do? I had no weed for myself. Well, anyways, back to the subject at hand. Marijuana makes me holler more than any woman ever can. It lifts me to the moon, time to take a toke. Hold up, I gotta choke. Nothing like a fat bowl to get me going in the morning, cause the bone's already loaded and the chronic's got me floating to the sky like the Goodyear blimp. Don't confuse me with the pothead, I'm the hydroponic pimp.
Well, my lifestyle's wild, it's the smoke that keeps a smile on my face. Every day I'd walk 1,000 miles just to have a toke and take two to the head. I'd rather smoke weed than run the streets and end up dead. I said I'm smoking, rolling blunts in my bed. Optimos taste good, but I roll swishes instead.
Inhale, exhale, lungs are filling up. We don't fuck with any other shit, and but we trust. The cannabis has got me speaking in some crazy tongues. See, I told you we would do that, but you didn't listen. Holy shit, I think my motherfucking sack is missing. I know I left it right here, where the fuck could it be? Stop the track, I'll be back, excuse me.
God damn it, I know I put that motherfucker somewhere. Where the fuck did I put it in this shit?
Whew, that was a close one, thought I lost my fucking shit. Don't they say smoking weed causes you to forget? Well, I can't remember now, my memory's kinda shady. Maybe I shouldn't be smoking this quarter pound that Poopy gave me. Oh well, I'll just smoke it and tell my probation officer I'm not feeling too well. That should work, yeah, that'll do the trick. Yup, I hope this motherfucker buys and doesn't try to test my fist. Cause if he does, I'm gonna have to spend a couple of months in rehabilitation, giving up on smoking and such. But what the fuck? I still got an extra blunt. Well, might as well get the fucking, cause I only live once.
Well, my lifestyle's wild, it's the smoke that keeps a smile on my face. Every day I'd walk 1,000 miles just to have a toke and take two to the head. I'd rather smoke weed than run the streets and end up dead. I said I'm smoking, rolling blunts in my bed. Optimos taste good, but I roll swishes instead.
Alright, kids, settle down. Smoking class is now in session. I'll be needing your attention. Shut your mouths and just listen to the words coming out of my mouth. Cause butt smoking is the topic and I wanna get down to the nitty gritty. Should I say sticky icky? It don't matter, cause the latter's the only thing that seems to get me in this highly intoxicated state of mind. That's got me running behind and always wondering why I'm never motivated to do a goddamn thing. I'm only in the new shit that my connection brings, and things seem to get a little crazy at times. But I'm straight with high amounts of greenery by my side. Well, I'll catch you later, cause I gotta get gone. I need to finish up this bowl before my mama gets home. So keep smoking and doing the shit that you do, cause Mary Jane will always be there helping us to get through. Now everybody put your joints in the air, let the motherfuckers know you're smoking, just don't care. I said put them joints up in the air, let the motherfuckers know you're smoking, just don't care. Yep, let the motherfuckers know. And I'm out. I'm out of this motherfucker just right now. I said I'm out of this motherfucker just right now. Oh, damn.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff. It's the most addictive kind of cocaine, and it can kill you. What's really bad is nobody knows how much it takes. So every time you use it, you risk dying. It isn't worth it. Look, everybody wants to be cool, but doing it with crack isn't just wrong. Could be dead wrong.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. And we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
In my personal opinion, is what has happened is the NSA has gathered more intelligence. It has given it a much broader issues. Russ, for some reason, I have some feedback.
I think we just got that fixed. Is it better for you now?
Okay, that's better. Yeah, it was coming back at me. So let me rephrase that. So the biggest issue is because technology has advanced so fast. I think now is all the issues are going to start coming out, but law enforcement's been doing this for a long time. And so from a local law enforcement level is we've had people on both the Joint Terrorism Task Forces and other narcotics task forces going back to the 1980s when I was in law enforcement from 83 to 2004. But what would happen is you weren't getting the prevalence of the masses amount of intelligence or information because there wasn't that much. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But what would happen is the NSA's been in existence for a long time. The Special Operations Division has been in existence for a long time. We were just getting less tips and less leads. And so the DEA has always filtered information to task forces, to local law enforcement agencies, and what would happen is you would have to what's called wall off the information. So you have to remember as pretextual stops were affirmed by the Supreme Court years ago. And so, you don't have to tell people why you're stopping them. You could have any number of reasons, and the only way it's not going to be upheld is unless you can prove that there's some racial bias or some other disparate conduct that would make it not constitutional. But so it's always been there. It's just a lot more prevalent now.
Is that to say that in the case of pretextual stops that cops are pretty much open to any pretext so long as it's not one of the federally classified protected classes like race or religion?
Correct.
Wow. Okay. So
So that's, and that was an, I believe it was an Illinois case called Wren v. Illinois, Whren, and I have to break open my law books again to really qualify that and go back. But so law enforcement's subjective mind doesn't matter. So here's how it would work. So let's say that we have an agency that's rolling through our city, a task force agency that's rolling through our city, and they need a traffic stop done. So there's a DEA's given information to whoever it happens to be. They've initiated a wire that's been court approved. They've conducted surveillance. And then what happens is they will set it up because they know that they're going to want this person stopped at a particular place. And so they will coordinate with whatever local law enforcement agency is and make certain that there's a canine close by as well as the traffic stop. And then a legal traffic stop is done because, quite frankly, you know, in California, the California Vehicle Code has 18 provisions and, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of pages of things that you can pull people over for when they're driving their car.
It seems to me the scandal isn't so much the pretext stop or the cops getting the tip from the DEA. It's this, what Russ Jones called creative report writing to omit any evidence that they were involved. And I imagine they would claim, you know, national security or classified info for this, but is that really the case?
That's exactly what they would claim. You know, is that what you would get is, we can't tell you where this information came from. We're just going to tell you that there's dope or money in the car. And you have to come up with a legal, constitutionally valid purpose and way to stop the car. But that raises all sorts of other issues that haven't been explored, which is people's right to confront their accusers, is exculpatory evidence. I mean, it throws the whole monkey wrench into the whole entire judicial system.
Yeah.
And so what would happen is not only are the cops walled off from where the information is coming from, but the district attorney's walled off from where the information is coming from. So they can actually tell a defense attorney, hey, this is what we have.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned that this has been going on for a long time, but that part of what has exposed this is just the volume of data and the volume of tips that are now available thanks to technology. And that kind of segues us a little bit into the recent revelations from the NSA, from Edward Snowden and before him Bradley Manning, as to just how much our government is listening in on our private domestic conversations. Do you think that's part of why this has gained some traction in the media, the combination of this with the whistleblower stories?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think what is happening, I think there's that, and then I think Americans are finally becoming much more astute about, you know, the security state and everything that's occurred, not just post 9/11, but that was started by the war on drugs. Because clearly the most significant constitutional issues evolved out of the affirmation of the Supreme Court on the incremental losses of our civil liberties, whether it's search or seizure or any other, you know, First Amendment rights for free speech. I mean, I think that's the critical component. This started 40 years ago with Richard Nixon, and now it's blowing up, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it's good that people are finding out about this, but what can be done to stop it? It sounds like everything that's gone on here has been legal, at least technically so. I mean, I know Department of Justice is conducting an investigation, but it sounds like they're investigating themselves. So what do you think will happen?
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's funny because that's the whole problem. Because so who's going to investigate Congress and who's going to investigate DOJ and DEA? Because Congress approved all these. You know, and so it's almost, you know, I don't want to call it, you know, a counter-revolution, but it's almost like we have got to start electing folks that understand and respect what American civil liberties are about and who don't kowtow to, you know, that perception of security. You know, right now it's what the NSA is doing by sending information down isn't making us any safer, because we know, like everything else, it's mission creep. you know, is when the Patriot Act happened, when the FISA letters started going out, the ACLU had a great blog on it. I think that they took, a aggregate number of years to see exactly what the sneak and peek warrants were. And they're out of, like, almost 1,500 or more. It's like over 1,400 were just for narcotics, and like, you know, 7 were for terrorism, and the others were for some type of fraud.
Yeah, yeah, so, it was. So,
yeah, you remember that.
Yeah, it was very, very shocking, and they displayed it as a bar graph, and you just had this little tiny sliver that had to actually do with terrorism.
Exactly. And so, you know, and I think you and I have had this conversation before, is if you give law enforcement, which is very bureaucratic in nature, tools that don't have a lot of accountability on either side, law enforcement's going to take that tool and run with it.
Yeah,
and so there's no balance, there's no accountability, and it's no different than, which is, you know, one of the other things that Leap has preached about for a long time, is why you see so much of the racial disparity issues is because we police differently in inner city communities than we do out in the suburbs, because, you know, busting kids for pot who are gang members is easy to solve a short-term problem.
And they might not be as likely to bring a high-priced lawyer into the courtroom with them.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
We're speaking with Diane Goldstein with LEAP, a retired lieutenant commander with Redondo Beach Police Department, on this DEA, and it's SOD, Special Operations Division, if you want to Google this and find out more about what's going on. What's happening now with you, Diane? I know you're all around the country and you're speaking at various events. Are there any public appearances people could catch you at coming up soon?
You know what? I'm actually going to be in San Francisco up at Inchi on September 7th. And today I'm leaving right after our conversation to go drive over to Riverside to speak at the Young Republicans. And it's been really busy. I mean, it's good. I think that there's a lot of great things going. I'm going to take it and run with Sanjay Gupta just came out with. Brilliant.
I know. I've got a little bit of a rant on that coming up next. We'll talk about Sanjay Gupta's evolution on that. And boy, you know, he's come quite around on this, and it gives us some hope that other people that are, you know, now that one person has admitted, okay, I was wrong, they were wrong, they were lying, more people can come out and say that.
Well, and that's, I think, that clearly there's a couple things going on which are real interesting to tie Sanjay Gupta in with the SOD and then the Drug Policy Alliance. Right now, the Drug Policy Alliance has sent out kind of a mass email. Is they're asking people to sign one of their petitions demanding Congress investigate the DEA. And I think they're right. And I think we need to have full-blown congressional hearings, because the DEA is misleading the American public in so many different ways. You know, they're holding science hostage. They are, you know, passing on information and walling things off so people don't have the ability to defend themselves. Their whole entire policy needs to be blown up. And I actually believe that in some aspects is not necessarily defund the DEA, but create a different type of agency. And you have some really good law enforcement officers in the DEA that are great intelligence investigators. You know, send them over to the FBI and make them part of a real terrorism task force, not one that's focused on Americans who are doing drugs.
Absolutely, Diane, and I'd really hope for that congressional investigation. With the House in Republican hands, I don't know, but maybe we get in Democratic hands, and Jared Polis or Steve Cohen, boy, can you see them leading an investigation on this?
Yeah, but you know, this is a bipartisan issue. I mean, you look at Justin Amash out of Michigan.
True.
Yeah, so I think that's the one thing that we can all agree to disagree on, maybe a lot of other things, but there is places where both the Democrats and the Republicans should, in fact, play nice and hold hands, and the DEA is one such thing.
And
you know,
I agree with you, and I think we can get the Tea Party Republicans especially over to that side, and they've got some pull with Speaker Boehner, so who knows?
Yeah, you know what? You never know, which is why I'm, you know, heading out to a Republicans group to talk about the failures of the war on drugs today. You know, so there's a lot of exciting things going on. And, you know, the other thing I like about Dr. Sanjay is I'm actually getting ready to film with Cheryl Schumann on the doctors the next week and this week. And there's another group that needs to evolve. And so now maybe just like, you know, when politicians come out and say they believe that marijuana should be legalized, now that they have one of their peers who's saying it, who's very well respected, he's a neuroscience, maybe we can get them to evolve. And then so it's really the discourse is starting to really become at a tipping point where everybody's talking about this.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. And Diane Goldstein from LEAP, we so appreciate you and everything LEAP is doing in this movement because, again, you guys speak with unparalleled qualification on this issue. Thanks for being with us again, and we'll see you soon.
No problem, Russ. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Bye.
When we come back, we have time for a radical rant. We're going to take a look at Dr. Sanjay Gupta's evolution. It's going back to 2002.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Thing you know, they got 10 years, they've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, there's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club,
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the President, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah! Radical rant.
Today we want to talk about Dr. Sanjay Gupta's marijuana evolution. In an op-ed published yesterday on CNN entitled, Why I Changed My Mind on Weed. I've changed my mind on weed a bunch of times. Never mind. Dr. Sanjay Gupta, a neurosurgeon, once tapped by President Obama to be our nation's Surgeon General. He refused. Probably be a pay cut. he apologized for misleading our country about the medical benefits of cannabis. He said, quote, I apologize because I didn't look hard enough until now. I didn't look far enough. I didn't review papers from smaller labs in other countries doing some remarkable research, and I was too dismissive of the loud chorus of legitimate patients whose symptoms improved on cannabis, end quote. Wow, you know, I have to give credit to the man for his intellectual honesty. Dr. Gupta, unfortunately, is too rare among his medical colleagues in applying the same rigorous investigation into the science behind cannabinoid therapies. It is a testament to the power of social opprobrium, government propaganda, and political pressure that so many medical professionals still fail to be skeptical of the government's claims about marijuana. It was just 11 years ago, when there were only 8 medical marijuana states, when Dr. Gupta gave this 2002 interview to CNN, explaining about the links between marijuana use and psychosis. Here's some of the quotes from Dr. Gupta just 11 years ago. Marijuana use earlier in life actually may lead to an increased 30% increase in schizophrenia later in life. Schizophrenia is a very complicated diagnosis. You get all sorts of symptoms, hearing voices, disorganized speech, withdrawal, paranoia, for example. That's a very complicated picture within the brain. The fact that this THC can actually cause these things is just becoming known now. All of these boys and girls, particularly girls, were more vulnerable to the symptoms of depression later on in life, again, if they were frequent or even daily marijuana users. Marijuana can offer some of these medical benefits, especially when it comes to reducing nausea and vomiting. Not advocating that necessarily myself. I think there are other ways to do that besides marijuana. End quote. So even when Dr. Gupta could begrudgingly admit that cannabis helps reduce nausea, he couldn't recommend it, and he believed there were other solutions. By 2006, Colorado and Nevada were pressing ill-fated initiatives to legalize marijuana for recreational use. This article by Dr. Gupta, entitled Why I Would Vote No on Pot, was run in 2006 and then rerun in 2009 as California geared up for the failed Prop 19 legalization measure. At the time, Dr. Gupta was, quote, constantly amazed, end quote, that after all the government anti-marijuana ads and the continued criminalization of cannabis, some 15 million people, back then, were regular users. Still, 4 years after his 2002 interview, he seemed a little more willing to admit medical benefits of cannabis. Here's a quote from his 2006 article. Several recent studies, including a new one from the Scripps Research Institute, show that THC, the chemical in marijuana responsible for the high, can help slow the progress of Alzheimer's disease. In fact, it seems to block the formation of disease-causing plaques better than several mainstream drugs. Other studies have shown THC to be very effective anti-nausea treatment for people, for cancer patients undergoing chemotherapy, for example, for whom conventional medications aren't working. And medical cannabis has shown promise in relieving pain in patients with multiple sclerosis and reducing intraocular pressure in glaucoma patients. But despite this recognition, Dr. Gupta opposed marijuana legalization for non-medical purposes, explaining that, quote, marijuana isn't really very good for you, end quote, a condition that alcohol and tobacco don't seem to have to meet. After mentioning the National Institute on Drug Abuse's Nora Volkow and her opposition, Dr. Gupta trotted out the same tired old criticisms of pot. He said, quiet, dogs. That's not what he said. Frequent marijuana use can seriously affect your short-term memory. It can impair your cognitive ability. Why do you think people call it dope? And lead to long-lasting depression or anxiety. While many people smoke marijuana to relax, it can have the opposite effect on frequent users. And smoking anything, whether it's tobacco or marijuana, can seriously damage your lung tissue. Now, I corrected many of Dr. Gupta's mistakes in a piece I wrote for Normal in 2009, but to summarize, marijuana only affects short-term memory while you're high. It has no lasting effect on cognitive abilities, even among long-term heavy users. It is a valuable medicine to treat depression and anxiety. It is relaxing, even for frequent users. And while long-term pot smoking will give you a cough, it does not lead to increased incidence of COPD, head, neck, or lung cancer. Later, in the summer of 2009, Anderson Cooper's show on CNN presented America's High, the Case for and Against Pot. In this interview, Dr. Gupta had even more glowing recommendations for the medical use of cannabis. He said, quote, for example, someone who's having terrible malnourishment or terrible nausea as a result of chemotherapy or being infected with HIV/AIDS, using marijuana could stimulate appetite. Neuropathic pain, Anderson. Something I deal with quite a bit as a neurosurgeon. It's that lancinating nerve pain that's often caused by trauma or some sort of injury or surgery. Sometimes it can be very refractive to pain medications. Marijuana can help there as well. Multiple sclerosis, something else that I treat. That's something that can cause significant tremors, for example. Marijuana can help. End quote. But even then, even in late 2009, Dr. Gupta hedged his bet by explaining that, quote, sometimes other medications which we know more about may be better alternatives, end quote. And that's something I call the marijuana as medicine of last resort thinking. But now in 2013, in his latest op-ed, foreshadowing his upcoming documentary, Weed, on CNN this Sunday, Dr. Gupta explains that the emperor wears no clothes, saying, quote, I mistakenly believed that the Drug Enforcement Agency listed marijuana as a Schedule I substance because of sound scientific proof. Surely they must have quality reasoning as to why marijuana is in the category of the most dangerous drugs that have no accepted medicinal use and a high potential for abuse. Well, yes, it's called culture war, and don't call me Shirley. He continues, quote, they didn't have the science to support that claim, and I now know that when it comes to marijuana, neither of those things are true. It doesn't have a high potential for abuse, and there are very legitimate medical applications. In fact, sometimes marijuana is the only thing that works. End quote. No more medicine of last resort. Dr. Gupta seems genuinely shocked that not only the government, but the medical profession has been kept ignorant of cannabis as medicine. He notes the LaGuardia report of 1944, which recommended marijuana decriminalization. He discovers cannabis has been a popular medicine in the U.S. Pharmacopeia from 1840 to 1943. He recognizes that over 20,000 studies have been performed on cannabis to date, even as he notes the dearth of studies undertaken to prove marijuana's benefits. He even seems exasperated by the conundrum of the government's claim that there is no good scientific evidence for cannabis's benefits to justify legalization, while stifling any scientific research that would provide good scientific evidence for cannabis's benefits. In closing, Dr. Gupta promises to provide more honest reporting on marijuana. Quote, when marijuana became a Schedule I substance, there was a request to fill, quote, a void in our knowledge, end quote. In the United States, that has been challenging because of the infrastructure surrounding the study of an illegal substance, with a drug abuse organization at the heart of the approval process. And yet, despite the hurdles, we have made considerable progress that continues today. Looking forward, I am especially intrigued by studies like those in Spain and Israel, looking at the anti-cancer effects of marijuana and its components. I'm intrigued by the neuroprotective study by Lev Meshulam in Israel and research in Israel and the United States on whether the drug might alleviate the symptoms of PTSD. I promise to do my part to help, genuinely and honestly, fill the remaining void in our knowledge. End quote. Well, better late than never, Dr. Gupta. Glad to have you on our side. Thanks for joining us. We've been saying these things about marijuana for, 5 years now on the Russ Belville Show. Tune in sometime, Doctor. You might learn something. That's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. On tomorrow's show, we'll have our exclusive interview with Miami Beach mayoral candidate Steve Burke. We'll also do a little previewing of our upcoming events here in the state of Florida, which include interviews with Kathy Jordan and Robert Platshort. Thanks for joining us here in beautiful Miami, Florida. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Now it's time for your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, August 7th, 2013. I'm Russ Belleville. U.S. Drug Agency Surveillance Unit to be investigated by the Department of Justice. This from TheGuardian.com. The U.S. Department of Justice has launched an investigation into revelations that the Drug Enforcement Agency uses surveillance tactics, including wiretaps.